Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hello, and welcome to A Thing or Two, a deep dive into stuff we think more people should know about. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. You might know us as the co-founders of Avakai and the co-authors of Work Wife, or just two women who feel so strongly about their relationship that they own the domain ClaireandErica.com. Related, head there to sign up for our newsletter.
Which will be starting again at some point. I've been getting questions about this.
It's starting again this month, next month.
Who knows? We report to nobody.
We're gonna do like what the neighborhood grocery stores do. Winter 2020. Yes. Winter 2020. And then if it kicks to spring 2020,
well, that's we'll normal. Just change the sign.
Yeah, that's normal.
I like your shout out to Food Garden Market, the new grocery store that's opening a block for me that I've been tracking for like a year and a half, and they just kept changing the season and then eventually changed the year.
And like basically in the way that you like paste over just those words, or just like when you change the price on something and you just put a 7 over the 6.
That's like, what happened with Food Garden Market. It's finally open though, and just like Food Garden Market, we will eventually relaunch our newsletter. We just can't commit right now to a date, but it's going to happen, and you should sign up for it at ClaireandErica.com. You should also leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463.
So this is a grab bag episode. Mm-hmm. And man, is it a bag of grabs?
Oh, it truly is. We are going to talk about where to shop now that Avakai is closed.
We are going to talk about winter and dresses and tights and the tyranny of tights.
Yeah, and we are going to talk about drinking and not drinking.
Drinking or not drinking.
Whichever one you choose to do.
It makes me think of the line in Best in Show, you know, we love like talking or not talking.
Yes, 100%.
Together.
Talking or not talking. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway.
All right, where to shop now that Avakai is closed?
This is a problem we're having, you know.
For sure.
So maybe other people are having it too.
I do want to toot our horns here for a little bit.
Toot it.
I'm going to toot it and say that there are a lot of stores that I love that are not Avakai. However,
How bold of you.
Yeah. How bold. But I will say it was hard to find any that felt like the same price mix that Avakai had.
Or the same just mix of product in general. Like, I think, you know, there is no exact replica.
There truly is not.
There's nothing that fills this void.
No, there really isn't. And
so what we've done is pull together a list of 15 to 30 things that together fill the void.
But I don't know that you will find the same price accessibility or the same, like, weird product mix.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so for fashion, this is also a non-exhaustive list. It's
just a
list that sort of like occurred to us as we were
brainstorming this. Out things we really like.
We are.
You know what? That happens.
I'm going to think about it like tonight. And
please don't wake up in the middle.
I know.
Please don't wake up and think of
this. I will. It will happen. Okay. So, and this is in no particular order whatsoever. So the
definitely first, not alphabetical.
Definitely not. The first one I actually don't know how to pronounce. It's either Idun or Idun. It's spelled I-D-U-N.
I don't know.
Exactly right. It's based in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's actually closer than most to the sort of like price spectrum of a kind.
The Midwest will do that for you.
Yeah, it has a really good mix. They have a really cute shop in St. Paul, but they also have a great online store. And it's like a lot of indie designers. It's not too crazy. It feels sort of unisexy or sort of like menswear-ish. It feels like practical and really beautiful products.
Another store that we just love deeply, deeply, mm-hmm. deeply is Kick Pleat in Austin. I think it's my favorite right now, my Same. Favorite like physical retail, like, you know, fashion shopping experience in the country.
I haven't even been to the new location. I'm so jealous. You've been multiple times.
New location's great. I've been once. In your mind, I've been multiple times.
I have. You have.
I've been to Austin multiple times. I didn't get to go to Kick Pleat multiple times.
It's not like it doesn't have all the bells and whistles of like a big store in terms of like the online shopping experience, but the assortment is just so good. And I will say it is aspirational because by that I mean it's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But it is like the woman who I would like, it is the woman who I would like to be shops exclusively from Kick Pleat. They have a lot of like Japanese and Dutch and just international designers and a great sense of color in the assortment. A lot of Issey Miyake.
Yes. You know what feels really related to this? That is another one of our favorite stores. It's sort of like the like older aunt of Kick Pleat is Noodle Stories in
Absolutely.
LA. That is another just tremendous shopping experience. Every shop girl at that store is like 60 to 80.
Oh, yeah.
Dressed.
No, I think the youngest is probably like 45.
Yeah. And it's just like a lot of Japanese designers, a lot of Italian designers, a lot of like
Dutch,
Danish, whatever. And everybody's very enthusiastic about you trying on something like odd or like maybe in a size or two bigger than you would or like with this like sort of weird combination of things. It's just a very satisfying place to go. They don't have e-com at all,
they? Don't
do
have
they?
E-com at all. They also refuse to get on board with the regular seasonal sale schedule.
Oh, yeah,
so they're post-season. They're like post-Christmas sale, I think, starts like the end of January or something like that.
They're doing it old school or European. Yeah. They're just like on a European schedule
they're
or something.
Totally different. They don't have online. They don't have like anything normal in there. It's all so weird. And like you said, it's like who you want to grow up and be and dress like. It's all just so beautiful. Also amazing colors and appreciation of textures and so much stuff that I would never think to wear and really expensive.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Shout out Noodle Stories on West 3rd. I also feel like the other thing I like about going in there is there's never a ton of people in there, but you know, the other people in there, you have that sort of like, I see you vibe, like, of like, we both have a weird appreciation for this store.
Yes.
And like, you're only in here if you really appreciate fashion.
It's like very knowing experience to be in the store, just even walk through the doors.
That's right. That's exactly right. They also have great ginger candies and always like one older miserable man in the corner. And the only chair for the miserable men is like some weird ass, like
uncomfortable.
Yeah. And it's got weird fabrics, like textiles woven through it. And it's very brightly colored. And it's like, if you're going to come in here, you're going to sit in that chair and you will
sit. It's like a timeout chair more than anything.
It's 100% a timeout chair. Those are both wonderful, wonderful stores. Okay. For jewelry, we didn't have a ton of, we only had one answer that was specific to jewelry.
One straight jewelry answer,
And that is Love Adorned.
Love Adorned is really excellent.
I
bought myself a pair of earrings at Love Adorned not that long ago. And I haven't shopped for jewelry, not on Of A Kind, basically for 10 years. And so that was like a very compelling experience. But there's so many designers that we discovered there.
Through
and like
them,
like Polly Wales, a designer we
Lauren
found there
Wolf.
That like loved, oh my gosh, and they do this thing in the front now. It's in New York. It's on Elizabeth Street. And they do this thing in the front that I think is so smart and I can't believe more places don't do, is that they have this little like dried flower like boutique. Like a dried flower shop.
Yep.
And it's just like such a smart thing for any whole shop to do because dried flowers, they're dead. You don't have to keep them alive.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
They also do really cute gift wrapping with these like Japanese textiles that I'm forgetting the name of. But this reminds me, there is another jewelry store that we love.
Tell me.
Esqualeto.
Oh, duh.
Which is Lauren Wolf's jewelry shop. She has an excellent eye and an excellent assortment. She has physical locations in Oakland and now New York.
Is it open in New York?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, we have to go.
I know, we really do need to go. And I do believe they are online as well.
Yes, yes, definitely.
And yeah, great, great assortment.
We also, obviously, this comes up on this podcast a lot. We love Lizzie Fortunato for jewelry and handbags. And also their home goods,
I feel like
are maybe filling that Of A Kind void too.
Oh, their home goods shop, which is called Fortune Finds, and it's like on their shop, is very, very good.
They also, they're like, such nutty, wonderful hustlers in that they'll travel for like work or for vacation and drag so much stuff back from, you know, like wool rugs from Portugal or textiles from India or whatever, drag
ceramic jugs.
So many things back with them for fortune finds. It is quite impressive.
It
so,
really is.
You know, they like it so you don't have to.
Exactly. Okay, other clothing stores. So Lisa says Ga.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like they actually have like a decent price spectrum. Garmentory, which is sort of a, it's like a marketplace. It's like, if you know how Farfetch works, it's kind of like that, but it sort of specializes in the sorts of indie designers that we used to work with.
You can search for a lot of the designers we used to carry and they'll surface on Garmentory.
And they work with a lot of boutiques that carry indie designers. And then Concrete and Water, which is a shop in Williamsburg that has a very similar sort of assortment to what Of a Kind had. And then Bandeau, which
for
is
for the fun, for the, like the fun.
Very fun.
Yeah, for
very
like the fun,
fun
cheeky
stuff. Exactly.
We had Jen Gotch on the podcast at one point. If Bandeau sounds familiar, she's just great.
And that is pretty accessibly priced as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so when it comes to home things, we are so committed to Food 52.
Oh my God. It's so good, you guys.
It's so good.
I tip of the hat.
Tip of the hat.
The people doing the buying over there.
Yeah.
Like anytime someone asks me, they're like, I need a pretty oven mitt, or I need a pretty like napkin holder, or I need a pretty very random specific thing. I'm like, if Food 52 doesn't have it, it doesn't exist.
Well, and also it feels like style agnostic.
Yes.
Or like
agreed.
You can go there and buy something for someone who has like more traditional taste or more contemporary taste or whatever.
Yeah.
I just bought these platters for a family member for a gift that like are just never something that I would buy for wouldn't have in my home, but they're like very cool and very pretty and very like they felt like right.
They do it exactly right. They have such a good assortment. This is also not the conversation we're having, but I
have it anyway. This is a grab bag, Claire.
From a business perspective, I am so impressed by whatever like dark magic they are doing to have that work as a marketplace, because they're not holding any inventory. All of that inventory is shipped directly from the vendors, and that is such a challenging thing to pull off, and it's really a challenging thing to pull off well, but I've only ever had a good experience.
Listen, I just ordered two different things, these platters that I talked about, and then these champagne flutes from this company called Verone, I think. They were both drop shipped you know, around the holidays, and they both came really quickly, and I was like, wow.
I don't understand.
Wow.
Yeah, so Food 52, anytime you need some random home good, it's always worth giving them a search. They have a really wide assortment and a really good assortment.
Thank you so much to Noemi for sponsoring today's episode. I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast, but I got another piercing
recently.
I'm pretty excited about
it. So how many do you have total?
Including my nose ring, six.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty fancy.
So many piercings.
And none on my belly button. Good
that's
to
great.
Know, right?
That's great.
So my piercing's still here. I cannot wrap my head around how long it takes.
Yeah, it does take
And it's
so
made
long.
Me very excited to put a new earring in.
Oh, good.
And I just got one from Noemi.
They what does
sell
it look like?
These little single studs. It's like three tiny little diamonds in like a sort of triangle formation.
Cute.
And I feel like if I'm going to get my ear pierced at 36, like I need to get like fine jewelry.
Right. You need something fancy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, they do fancy stuff.
Noemi believes that luxury jewelry doesn't have to be overpriced, so they cut out the middlemen to deliver exceptional fine jewelry without the traditional retail markups. Noemi designs and manufactures everything in-house and sells directly to consumers with a lifetime warranty and free shipping both ways.
They're also the only fine jewelry company offering this quality at this price. So they feature solid 18-karat gold for the perfect balance of strength and purity. VS Clarity diamonds of uncompromising quality that come with an IGI certification card. I ordered from them these little huggies with diamonds in them that
I'm
very excited about. I've been very much into a little huggy hoop these days. Something else that's really big. So they offer a ton of like monogramming and sort of personalization stuff, but you can return any order for a full refund, including stuff that's engraved or that's custom designed.
That's a big deal.
Which I think is a huge deal. So it's entirely risk-free experience. If you're looking for quality fine jewelry made to last a lifetime from a luxury brand you can trust, it's Noemi. They have thousands of 5-star reviews online. We suggest you read some and see why people are raving about this company. Go to hellonoemi.com/athingortwo to see their collections and get $50 off your first purchase with promo code athingortwo.
HELLONOEMIE.com/a thing or two. And don't forget to use promo code a thing or two for $50 off your first purchase.
In terms of New York specific spots, we really like Collier's Mansion in Brooklyn.
Really fun on Atlantic Avenue. They also have a website. It's not like extensive, but it's worth going to the store. It's a fun shopping experience.
Also Primary Essentials.
Beautiful. This is like the sophisticated minimalist.
Yeah.
And like fancy.
And then Coming Soon, which is like fun and retro. And
it's like the fun cousin of Primary Essentials, bright colors and goofy stuff. Like, think Deuce and Deucin.
Yep, exactly.
And then Homecoming in Greenpoint, which is like also just beautiful stuff. And I think a lot of crossover with Of a Kind for sure.
And I think they do a good job of sourcing things I don't find other places ever.
Absolutely.
And then Hawkins, New York.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Hawkins is.
We carried a lot of their stuff on Of a Kind.
And they mostly carry their own stuff, I think, almost exclusively at this point, but they collaborate with a lot of different creatives and artists and have the best taste. I put them up there with like a Food 52 of just like best of the best. They
best
do
of
such
the best.
A good job. If my entire kitchen was all and bedroom was all Hawkins products, I would be happy.
And the other one to check, especially for gifty things online, is Leif, L-E-I-F.
Yes.
Lots of cute like mugs and textiles and pillows and candles and gifty.
And I think all the New York ones that we mentioned do also have pretty decent websites.
Yeah. Okay, tights and winter dresses. You're wearing a dress right now.
Yes.
Are you wearing tights with it?
I'm not.
And explain to me how. Tell me how.
I pulled the trigger on a fancy pair of over-the-knee boots. They're Etoile Isabel Marant. I found them on The Real Real.
You're trying to make yourself better about the pricing by saying Etoile. I heard that, like, the mental process.
Obviously. Also trying to make myself
They're diffusion, Isabel Marant.
Also trying to make myself feel better by saying I bought them on The Real Real.
No, you're
even
giving so much context
the price
around this
wasn't,
purchase.
I did like some research and the price wasn't that much better on The Real Real than it was buying them new.
Yeah.
But I really put in the work yesterday before deciding to keep them. And I showed you proof of this. I tried on so many things in my closet that I think look bad with black tights and put them on with these boots and took pictures of all of them to be like, these boots unlock these six outfits and therefore they are worth it.
I think that's a great test. I think it's also a testament to how much time and energy you have.
I don't want to talk about it. I did feel a lot of shame about it, which is why I've tried to turn it into this like virtuous thing I did.
No, it's both. It's both.
But I felt a lot of, because there were emails I was supposed to be writing yesterday afternoon. And I apologize to the people I've not gotten back to yet, but I was trying on these boots with
everything
in my closet.
But you should know that two outfits were achieved when your email wasn't written.
So here's the thing.
But it's okay. So your boots, can we already talk about what color, that they're like
they're
gray
like khaki
suede.
Colored. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're grayish.
They're grayish. They're definitely
grayish. Yeah.
And my thing, this starts from a place of every single year hating how anything looks with black tights and ankle boots in my closet. And there's always like one thing that looks good with it and everything else doesn't.
Same. I wore my one look yesterday that looks good with ankle boots. And I feel like I've worn it out.
Did I see you?
You did see me, but I went home I showered after I saw you. Because when I saw you, I was wearing a sweatshirt that said dude really nasty hair.
I recall.
And so I went home and changed and put on a flippy little, like, a piece apart skirt that we both have from years ago.
Yes.
And a sweater, like a mock-necked black slouchy sweater and black tights and ankle boots and feel great about that.
That skirt's one of the very few things that looks good with black ankle boots and black tights. But my thing is that most things do not. And unfortunately, that is like kind of the only solution to wear, or like one of the few solutions.
It feels like one of the few solutions.
To wearing dresses in the winter, because colored tights aren't really a thing right now. Like that, they're not
It's like, I wish they were, but then I also am like, when would I wear them? Or
same.
Like, in what scenario would I opt for them?
I agree. I used to wear gray tights a lot at some point in my life, but
I remember this. Yeah.
It's also just, it's not as flattering on the legs ever to wear a collared tight as it is to wear a black tight. But what drives me crazy about this is that no online retailer will ever show you a dress with black tights.
Like styled with black
tights. Styled with black tights.
Because
despite the
you
fact
know why?
That these are like
because everything
dresses.
Looks so great with a like a bare leg. It's like a chunky turtleneck sweater
with a bare leg
dress with a bare leg and like a little boot is so cute.
Exactly. But then you're never actually doing that.
That's not life.
No, that's not life. And it drives me crazy. And I used to get in fights with stylists at Avakind shoots. And I'd be like, no, you have to show it with black tight. And they'll be like, but
it's not as cute.
Yeah. And I'm like, I know, but people want to know. And I have bought and returned so many dresses being like, that's the one that'll look good with black tights. Yeah. They very rarely do. I think it's like, it has to be like a black dress.
I mean, I wear a lot of black dresses, yeah. which is my like, my cheat yeah. on this is to just buy black dresses because they look good with black tights and black
boots. Right.
But it's a bit limiting.
Having a sleeve really helps, like yeah. a long sleeve, because it doesn't, you don't have to.
Oh, because like, a black dress, like black tights yeah. and like a bare arm it's looks such a crazy weird look. To me.
I hate it.
Looks crazy to me.
I've just been thinking a lot about
We're
this,
both really basically. Tensing up about
we
this.
We really are.
I also just hate mm-hmm. tights.
Yes,
I
they're
hate
terrible.
Wearing tights. And I have done everything that I can mm-hmm. to like accustom myself to this. I buy the nicest tights yep. that I can buy. I buy Wolford tights yep. exclusively. Mm-hmm. I buy them a size bigger so that they're not that okay. tight. Like I do everything yeah. I can and I still find it to be just
it's awful.
Torturous.
Well, and like once you put on tights, you're done. You're not like taking them off and putting them back on, like trying another outfit. It's like, it's just such an operation. I didn't want to do it. So this year I was like, I need a dress that I can wear for like when I'm dressing up during the winter that can be warm. So I bought and returned, I don't know how many dresses, thinking that they would look good with black tights, and then none of them did. So I was like, finally, I was like, you know what? I'm just not wearing dresses. I'm wearing nice pants in the winter. Like, yeah. that's going to be my solution yeah. is dress pants.
Yeah.
And I do like dress pants, and I do think that's a good solution.
A dress pant looks nice on
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. I like how I look in pants.
Yeah.
Thank you for the compliment.
You're welcome.
I do. So I was just like, you know what? I don't need to wear dresses in the winter, and I'm just not going to. And then I found these
Protest.
Boots. Then I found these boots, and I was like, oh, this is actually the answer, this over-the-knee flat boot.
I've really wanted a pair of, like, a knee-high or over-the-knee yeah. boots for a while, and the hard thing is just pulling the trigger on it. They're so expensive.
They're very expensive.
We both really like the Lowland ones from Stuart Weitzman.
Yes,
they're like in the Gigi Hadid
tie.
Ads
yes,
or
definitely.
Yeah, whatever. You've
They've
seen
got
them.
The little like bow or not bow,
yeah,
but it's like
a little
tie at the top. They're a little slouchy.
Yeah, they're real chic.
They're very chic.
And then I also really like the Gia boots mm-hmm. from Loffler Randall.
Those are really good. Those have a heel and
yeah,
they've got
like
a sort
a short,
of
like a little stacked heel. Yeah. yeah.
They've got a 70s vibe. Like they're kind of wider. They're not like a form-fitting boot.
Yes. I mean, I think that's also my problem. And I think the problem for a lot of people is with these boots is that like my calves don't like
oh that's 100%
in these boots
with these. Yeah
yeah so I feel like I have to like physically go try some of these boots yeah. on if I was ever going to make that move. The other thing I've tried to do, which doesn't get over the issue of having to wear tights but does get over some of the issue of what looks good with tights mm-hmm. is to do like a black sheer tight.
Yes.
Which I think is
I do think that
we
helps
call that
lot.
Like a stocking or a nylon
yes.
historically but yeah. I don't I just call it a sheer mm-hmm. tight. And that, like, I like that look. I feel like
I
it's
agree.
Chic. It's like, I used to yeah. at some point really like the look of the ones with the seam going up the
oh,
back.
Oh, yes.
Like, 100%. Which feels super, like, retro vibes.
Totally.
And, yeah.
No, I have not. I don't currently own a pair of sheer tights. And I was at some point, I was like, oh, maybe I just need to pull the trigger on that. It's just such a boring purchase. But
yeah.
I was like, maybe that will be the answer for me. Because I do think sheer tights are a lot, like, it's not so much heaviness on the bottom
yeah,
half
yeah,
of
yeah,
your
yeah,
body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's part of what is so just not great about the whole black tight
yeah.
look.
I do, if people are interested in trying a sheer tight, I like the Wolford ones that are called, I wrote this down.
Individual 10?
Individual 10,
yeah.
yeah. So Wolford, they're like the numbers denote basically how opaque things are.
Mm-hmm.
So like I also wear their 66s mm-hmm. or their 50s or their 80s.
Yeah.
So, you know, the 80s are the thickest,
right.
like super, super, super
I have
opaque.
Those too. Yeah.
yeah. But the 10s are sheer. They're
yeah.
great. And they like actually last and don't get a run in them on
right.
your second wear,
oh.
which is key because that's the big issue with if you do a sheer tight, you have to be like conscious of it.
And the sheer ones aren't as warm, right?
No.
Yeah.
They're not as warm. So they're probably not for the day when it's 23 degrees outside. But
well, like today, I am going to this Christmas party tonight, but I had things to do before and I was like, what am I going to do? And this is very complicated. And I feel like there's a lot of mental gymnastics that I do in the winter about how to look nice and be warm and practical.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Really,
it's not fair. It doesn't make sense.
It's not fair. It doesn't make sense. And yeah, I'd like us to all move past the black tight thing because I just don't think there's a good answer.
No. So, no, people, you know what people are going to say, or this is still
yeah.
a black tight issue, but people are going to recommend the fleece tights and
yeah.
I have no interest in a fleece tight.
No, me neither. Me neither, frankly. I mean, maybe colored tights will come back at some point and I'll get excited about them. I remember when we started Avakind, so this would be like mid-2010 color tights were at their peak, and I was super into them. I even wore purple tights, and you know how I feel about purple. There was this company called We Love Colors, and they just had all the color tights.
What'd you wear your purple tights with?
I had a black, like, flippy skirt and these black Barney's Co-op boots that I, like, loved. I was so excited about them.
I remember those boots.
Yeah, I would normally, I would wear it with, like, all black and maybe, like, a gray top. I had this gray, like, faux silk top from Uniqlo that I loved. Yeah, and I would wear a lot of, like, gray or purple tights.
Yeah.
And I, Nellie Diamond, who you know is one of my favorite Instagram follows, seems to be into
She's
a statement.
She's the founder of Hill House Home.
Yes.
Yeah.
She seems to be into a statement tight lately. She was doing, like, a gray textured tight recently, and it looked cute. But she does a whole different, like, dressing vibe than I
do. You know what? I do kind of think if you're going colored tight, I think that a texture is kind of nice because it makes it feel like a different element. Or it's like a sweater.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a sweater for your legs.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. But yeah, I don't know. If you're up for it, maybe try an over-the-knee boot. I feel like we started to plan this segment before I'd found these boots. But by
the time, wow, look how far
we've come. We've really come. And now I feel like I actually have an answer. And not just a complaint, not just a gripe.
There's real progress being made. Thank you so much to BetterHelp for sponsoring this week's episode. So if one of your 2020, you know, resolutions, goals, what have you, is to take better care of your mental health and to just be like more conscious and on top of that. This could be a good answer for you.
I can't think really of a better New Year's resolution than seeing a therapist or talking to somebody regularly.
A new decade resolution, really.
Yeah.
It feels like it's the way to be going right now. Because if you don't have anxiety, well, right? If you are struggling with depression, you have trouble sleeping, or dealing with something else altogether and want to talk to someone, you are not alone. And talking to a licensed therapist can help you feel better and achieve your goals. But when you don't feel great, finding a therapist can feel like just another daunting thing on your to-do list. Well, now there's an easier way. With BetterHelp Online Counseling, you can now get help on your own time and at your own pace. They have 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states and 4 modes of communication: text, chat, phone, and video. And we recently realized that they also are available worldwide. So if you use BetterHelp and you're someone who travels a lot for work or just like on the go and, you know, country hopping or whatever, this works for you if you can't get in to see a therapist in person. You can start communicating with a counselor in under 24 hours and schedule weekly secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Anything you share is, of course, confidential. And if for any reason you aren't happy with your counselor, you can request a different one.
Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. A Thing or Two with Claire and Erica listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code A Thing or Two. So why not get started today? Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. Go to betterhelp.com/a thing or two. That's betterhelp.com/a thing or two. BETTERHELP.com/a thing or two. Should we talk about drinking?
Yeah, let's talk about drinking. So what are you drinking?
Well, okay. It's not yet January, but this episode is going to air in January. And I think by then
dry January?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to not drink in January. I think that's the answer, is that by the time this episode airs, I won't be drinking. So I have done dry January every year for the past, like, I don't know, like 4 years, except for last year, because I had just had a baby. So I had done dry 2018. And so by the time January 2019 rolled around, I needed a drink. And I like it. I like it as a way to reset. And what happens is by the time January is done, I'm like, I don't miss drinking that much. So I don't drink that much. And like my drinking has sort of leveled out. And then by the time the year's over and it's like gone all the way back to its peak. And
it's
then
like,
start back over again. But it's just a nice way to sort of remind myself, A, how drinking makes me feel, B, that I can have fun without it, or that I can like socialize without it. I definitely, I don't know that I see the health benefits of it, because I definitely take it as an excuse to then overdo it on dessert, because it's like, it's my treat.
I do recall one year when you did dry January is the year you discovered making hot fudge.
Oh, yeah.
As like, hobby, I
guess I would say. 100% a hobby.
Yeah. So I hear where you're coming from.
But, I think I definitely need it this year because 2020, because in 2019, after not drinking for most of 2018, I like rediscovered drinking in a very big way.
Yeah, like you loved it.
I love it all of a sudden. And I'm someone who not only like didn't ever love drinking that much because I didn't ever love how it made me feel, because I would always just get tired, but I also never loved the taste of it all that much. But now I like love beer.
It's fascinating.
Well, It started as a thing for breastfeeding. People are like, dark beers, great for like lactation
milk production,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this tastes delicious. And this year I've gotten really into IPAs and stouts. I know.
Do you like sour beers? Have we talked about
this before? Yeah, I like it okay as like a novelty item. But
you can't have more than one.
No. And I prefer like a sweeter beer. I realized what beer has done for me. I haven't drank soda in years, but I realized I have the same sort of craving for it as I have for soda.
It's like interesting.
The carbonation and the sweetness.
Yeah.
Satisfying in the same way soda used to be for me.
I do like beer when it's in my fridge, basically. Yeah. Like, I never really feel compelled to order it anywhere. Mm-hmm.
If it's in the fridge, I like can't not drink it.
But we sometimes buy Omission beer.
I love
at my
Omission.
House. It's so good.
It's gluten free.
It's gluten free. It's gluten free, and Thomas will drink it, which like I feel like because I don't need to buy beer just from. I don't know. I don't drink beer enough that I like need to have beer just for me. Mm-hmm. But Omission is really good. I actually did order it at a restaurant recently. Mm-hmm. I was on a solo trip to Sedona, and I ordered steak fajitas, and I was like, "Well, this
you
like
need a
you
beer.
Need beer.
You
like,
absolutely need beer. You're not gonna have a glass of wine with that."
I'm by myself, looking out onto like Red Rocks with like all of these like 65-year-old couples, and
you're
I'm gonna
have
a beer with my fajitas. Yeah.
I'm really curious. So a lot of people have said that or have suggested that part of the reason I've been like craving beer has something to do with like the chemical makeup of my body while I'm breastfeeding.
So I'm curious
once I stop breastfeeding if all of a sudden I'll stop liking it.
Yes.
Because there have been a lot of things associated with pregnancy and breastfeeding that have impacted my cravings in a big way. So I'm curious what will happen.
What other things?
Less with breastfeeding, just with pregnancy. Like, I mean, we were talking about this the other day. I like stopped liking certain things like green tea that I used to like. And like during pregnancy, I didn't ever want seltzer water. And then like since then, all I want is seltzer water.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just weird stuff. Like I just
noticed that's because of the culture, Claire.
Yeah, that's
we live in a seltzer water culture.
That's right.
The other drinking related thing that we've been really into lately is Madeira.
Yes.
I mean, all credit really goes first to our friend Lindsay Green for this because she's been obsessed with Madeira. I'm going to really butcher why.
It has to do with George Washington.
It has to do with like basically when the Declaration of Independence was signed, there was a big party thrown and there's like a receipt for all the things that were like purchased at the party, and the same number of bottles of Madeira were purchased as the number of people in attendance.
It's really good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And so she had never had Madeira and was obsessed with the idea of it. Mm-hmm. And then
she loves American history.
Loves American history. Yeah. Right. We're talking looking at receipts for for the Declaration of Independence after party.
Yeah.
And she and I were at a bar in New York that had Madeira, and we did a Madeira flight, and it was like just mind blown, just wonderful.
Well, you and I both love sherry, and Madeira is definitely a cousin of sherry.
Absolutely.
We also were honored to be asked to help curate the snack chapter of a forthcoming book called Big Macs and Beaujolais, written by Vanessa Price. And it's basically all about like unexpected wine pairings.
And it's like the most up our alley thing.
Oh,
it's
100%.
We'll have Vanessa on when this book comes out because you need to hear it from her. But
so we told her all of the snacks that we wanted wine pairings for, and one of them were peanut butter packets.
Justin's
peanut butter packets. And so she was like, okay, here, you're going to drink Madeira with that. And it was mind-blowing.
It was outrageous.
It
like
was
party
so
trick
good.
Worthy. Party trick worthy.
It was really
it was peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, it was peanut butter,
peanut butter
and jelly.
And jelly.
It was so good. And then you and I and some friends were at The Fly the other night, which is like rotisserie chicken and bar in Clinton Hill, and they had a drink on the menu that was Madeira and tonic, and it was so good. I ordered two, and I don't normally order two of the same
that
cocktail.
Does, I didn't try it. I should have tried it.
What I don't
was
know
I
why
thinking?
You did. I should have.
I feel like you didn't
was,
offer. Yeah.
Probably not. had an orange peel in it. It was so good. I liked it so much. I should start
Madeira
making it
and
at
tonic.
Home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I normally don't like tonic. It's too sweet for me. But this was an A+ combo.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to not drinking for a
minute. Yes, let's.
So the other thing that I've never done dry January, but the thing that I did 1 week in November where I was just, first I'd had a really bad hangover. And then also it was just like leading up to Thanksgiving. Yeah. I was like, I need to take a pause.
Yeah.
And it's just like getting real like deep into holiday season vibes. And I was like, I'm just going to take a week off of drinking. And it was so nice just to take a week off very randomly.
Yeah.
And to just feel like, oh, this is something I can do. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking that like, I should try to do this as a monthly thing.
Once a month,
And to just, because I think it is nice to remind myself that I don't have to,
no.
like, you know, you can go out to dinner and not have a drink.
Absolutely.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Look at this. And basically, at the end of the year, when you add it up, if you don't drink for a week a month, mm-hmm. you haven't had drinks for 3 months yeah. during the year.
You've like, had that's, three dry Januaries.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've had dry January and sober October and like whatever else people call the other ones.
No, I mean, I do think something like that is just such a good way to reset because there's also no way that once that dry week is over, you're going back to drinking every single day.
No, exactly. I will say that I went out to dinner with a friend and when I didn't order a drink, my friend JJ looked at me and was like, and definitely first yeah. was like, I was going to ask if you're pregnant, but then I know you don't want kids, but I still feel like I had to ask.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh, right. I am like a woman of a certain age. So not ordering a drink, it feels like a tell in a way that's stupid.
There is. It's very dry January is very convenient in that so many people are doing it. So you also have a lot of people in it with you. So that makes it easier.
Well, you just say, oh, I'm doing dry January.
Yeah. You never have to explain yourself. Nobody's raising an eyebrow. And there's that level of accountability where like you always know someone else in the room who's doing it and usually, and Chris and I do it together, which helps.
There's
but
just
that
so
does
much
make
pressure.
It
there's yes, just so,
there's
much,
so much pressure.
Like, yeah, I grew up in a house where, I can't remember how much we've talked about this. I grew up in a house where my dad doesn't drink. Mm-hmm. So I was always very aware of that growing yeah. up of people like the presumption that of course you do. And of course you're, yes. you know, you're going to go to a baseball game and get a beer or you're right. going to like order wine at a restaurant. And I also feel like I didn't really learn how expensive going to restaurants was until I was old enough to have drinks myself yep. because we never ordered
right.
like booze.
Yeah.
We went out to eat.
That is a thing that I like about dry January that you just spend so much less money.
So much less money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I do feel like I'm having this conversation with you with totally fresh eyes because I just never liked drinking as much as I did this last year upon becoming a parent. And I don't know, just have like having
but
different taste buds
yeah.
towards it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I just like it a lot more now. I used to feel really indifferent about it. And I will say that I feel like most of my friends knew that I was just like sort of whatever about it. So I never got the questions if I didn't order because I was just like whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, now I like fully drink at home because I also, that's the other thing. Once you start drinking at home, everything changes because you can do it all the time. It used to be that if I did drink, it was always outside of the house. But once you rip that seal off where you're drinking at home, well, you're always at home.
This is a revelation for
yeah.
me. This is truly a revelation.
Yeah. All right. So back to being sober.
But I do, yeah, yeah. I like okay. that there are so many more things popping up around, yes. around both sobriety, which wonderful, but also just like, opportunities to not drink.
Yes.
And people just like pushing those so that like less social engagement has to happen around alcohol and that's like less baked into the way that we experience like
absolutely.
Yeah, a party and life and friendship and whatever.
Well, and we're able to talk about it in a sort of like light and casual way because neither of us have problems with
yes.
drinking and we can both manage it and do it in moderation and we have had a lot of conversations and like been privy to a lot of conversations with people who don't necessarily identify as like alcoholics, but
and some who do,
and some who do,
yeah,
and who have a lot of have very complicated, challenging relationships with alcohol. And I think, as you pointed out, there's all of a sudden just in the last year or two been this real movement towards like we shouldn't take it light, like so lightly, and there are alternatives and we can have a healthier relationship with this. And so,
well, there are people who are coming out and saying like calling anything like mommy juice is like
right.
totally fucked.
Exactly.
Like, this is not like
yeah.
this is not how we should be talking about this. This
yeah.
is not the way that we should be like discussing alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I also as like I don't have a poignant point to make about this, but I do kind of find it interesting that this conversation is happening at the same time as cannabis is becoming more accepted and we're starting to treat pot like a glass of wine. And so
yeah.
you have this like, wait, maybe our relationship with alcohol is kind of screwed up, but we can expand our relationship with something that is in most states still illegal.
Yep. Yep. No, it's all fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Curious
yeah, yeah.
to see
yeah.
how it all evolves. The things that in the last couple of years that have popped up as very popular are these beverages that are basically like aperitifs, like
yeah.
non-alcoholic aperitifs.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So Curious Elixirs is one, which is like a very herbal drink. Kin Euphorics, which I still don't really understand. There's not CBD in it, but there are like a lot of adaptogens and herbs, and it claims to have some sort of like cerebral impact.
Does it
impact.
Have ashwagandha in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
It definitely.
That's basically all I need to understand.
That's all
to
you
understand
need to
it. Yeah.
It's very beautiful, but it claims that it does have some sort of, like, it changes your mood in some way, but it doesn't have alcohol and it doesn't have CBD.
Okay.
And then there's Recess, which does have CBD.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. One that our friend Britt brought to a party recently that I like so much is called Proto. And it's like, it calls itself an aperitif.
P-R-O-T-A-U. No, P-R-O-T-E-A-U.
Mm-hmm. It comes in a beautiful bottle. It looks like a bottle of red wine. And it tastes like wine, but it's not alcoholic. And it's
not
like—
Yeah, it tastes like wine adjacent.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's not sweet in the way like you would expect a non-alcoholic wine
it's
to be.
It's not Welch's sparkling grape
that's
juice.
Right. But it's really good. I really, really like it.
I did too.
And
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I don't normally like these like—
Well, and you
could,
you served it. I feel like I had it like room temperature, like you would have red wine in a way that was nice. Cause I feel like most of these things are served before ice or cold. And it was nice to have something that wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also just like the way that the food community is kind of shifting its opinion around alcohol. Cause I mean, obviously, there are like so many people who work in restaurants and chefs are just so deep in this culture.
Yes.
Like this Kitchen Confidential culture, like whatever, where it's like, you know, a lot of like alcohol and drug use. And there are so many more chefs who are talking about sobriety or talking about like just like being clean in general. And there is this Zero Proof dinner series that I have never been to, but have been following that takes place at the Feast Portland Festival. That's just all about like promoting balance and like wellness and not having to go so hard at everything all the time.
This is something that Sam Anderson talks a lot about on his Instagram. He's the beverage director at Wild Air and Contra and another restaurant in that group that I'm forgetting. And he's just one of these like sort of like semi-famous wine and alcohol guys. And he's not entirely sober, but he is like, he was an addict and he had problems with alcohol. And he's like, I'm not entirely like clean. Like I'm a beverage director. I taste these things, but I just have a much healthier relationship with these things than I used to, which is interesting because
it's
his job.
He also is like very, very into fitness.
Yes.
And yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are now alcohol-free bars opening up. There are sober influencers. There are sober retreats.
Of course there are.
There's something called, there's a term that makes me LOL, sober curious.
Yep.
Which I guess is like one step before being sober. There was also an interesting article on The Goods, which is like a Vox.com
vertical.
Talking about how even like White Claw is basically a wellnessy thing because it's like it's hard to get drunk off of White Claw and it's not like sugary and it's like it like we're all sort of moving in this direction.
That's interesting. Yeah. Have you had a White Claw?
I haven't.
Me
so
either.
I can't speak to this. With
Me
authority.
Either.
When I said that it's hard to get drunk off and it's not sugary, I was like, I hope that's true.
Is
but
it
I
hard
have,
to get drunk off?
Yes,
it?
I have a friend Kelsey who's really into White Claw and she's like, you're not going to get drunk off of it unless you drink like a ton.
Okay. I didn't have that sense of White Claw.
Neither did
I. So much.
Yeah,
do you think the reason why you and I haven't had White Claw is that we're too old for it or that we're just not like...
I think we don't go to enough parties.
Yeah,
we don't
I
go
think
to enough,
we
like,
definitely
house
don't
parties.
Go to enough parties. Yeah.
I don't know because it does feel like one of those things that you encounter at a house party maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. So many people have told me that it's not like a vodka tonic. It's not like a vodka seltzer. However, I can't help but imagine it as anything but that.
And, of course.
And those drinks are gross to me.
Agreed.
So that's why I didn't have it. That's why it doesn't appeal. I'm sure I'll like it. All these people can't be wrong.
No, it's true. Do we have anything else to say about this?
No, other than like I do hope that it just becomes easier for people to be sober or sober curious or sober adjacent.
Or just to have options.
Yes, to have options. And I do think things seem to be moving in a positive direction. Oh, I did want to call out one other thing that I discovered recently. It's a company called Tempest. It's a venture-backed sobriety school. So it's online alcoholism treatment plan. It seems to be mostly targeted at millennial women from what I can tell. And it's
or like women in general.
Yeah. I think that's right. And it's I think, you know, it doesn't present itself this way, but I think it's sort of meant to be a bit of an alternative to AA because I think there's some sense that AA is sort of like on its way out to some extent.
Well, or the people just have mixed feelings about it. It's for some people and not for other people. Yeah.
So I do think you're going to see it's fascinating to me that this thing's venture backed. And I do suspect you're going to see more and more sort of like online communities cropping up around this.
This is something I'm excited for venture money to be dumped into.
Absolutely.
You know, this feels like actually serving a need that people have.
I agree.
Wow, that's something, truly, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the show.
This has been a production of Dear Media. You can listen to us wherever podcasts are found, like Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify. If you have ideas for the show or want to advertise, email podcast at claireanderica.com.